Hello and welcome to episode 40 of It's Funny Now, Stories You're Glad Didn't Happen to You. My name is Frank Trainer. I'm the creator and producer of the show where people tell stories that maybe were embarrassing, cringy, shameful, disgusting, even sad sometimes when they happened. But with the help of time, we can say, it's funny now. Our show is recorded live at The Crow in Santa Monica, California. That's the new comedy club for Elevated Comedy in Los Angeles. It happens every second Tuesday of the month. And today is the last episode of the audio version of our show. Starting next Monday, May 13th, YouTube will be the only place to find our episodes moving forward. And I want to thank everyone who's been listening for the past 40 episodes. We hope that you go to YouTube and give us a follow and stay with us for many more episodes to come. On today's episode, we have Justine Hipsky with her story, Beachbody.
It was a dead man, and I knew it. I knew it. And guess what? I was fucking excited. I was like, finally, something good is happening. Call the police. What a treat, you know? I mean, I couldn't believe my luck, right?
Justine is a writer, actor, and storyteller whose writing has appeared in McSweeney's Internet Tendency, The Belladonna, and Points in Case. Her debut play, Motherlode, won the 2022 Capital Fringe Festival Award for Best Comedy. Currently, she can be found performing around Los Angeles with improv teams, Caboose, and Snag and Bam. And now, here's Justine with her story.
Thank you. Oh, hi. Oh, they move this big, heavy thing. Okay, there we go. There's an X I'm supposed to stand on. Okay, I'm going to narrate my process. Anyone remember the year 1996? Yeah, some of you definitely. Some of you maybe less so. Well, in the spring of 1996, I was a very mature 7 years old. And I lived in Florida, which is where I'm from, which is going to become abundantly clear from the story. And to help set the stage for anyone who maybe doesn't quite remember that year as well, let's see. Princess Diana was still with us. Oh, beautiful, just want to memorialize that. And I personally was in love with and set to marry Jonathan Taylor Thomas. So, yeah. And because it was Florida in the 90s, my dad was recently coming out of rehab for a crack cocaine addiction. And now, this wouldn't be his last time seeking treatment, and it wasn't his first, but this time was especially exciting for me because historically, all growing up, my dad hadn't really had his own place. He often was, you know, staying with my grandparents or with friends, and sometimes he was missing altogether. Once, I just remember that he stole a Jeep from the car dealership he worked at and was gone for 4 days. And I recently, I mean, literally as in last week, was like, hey, do you remember when that happened? And he was like, oh, yeah. And I was like, so I never really got an answer. Like, where were you? Where did you go with the Jeep? And he was like, oh, I didn't go anywhere. I just traded it for crack. And then I spent the weekend just doing a lot of drugs. So I was like, oh, that makes so much sense. Like, it wasn't like he was on a Caribbean getaway without me. He was like struggling with addiction, you know? So he historically hadn't had his own place, despite being a very hardworking man. But he was in his 20s, and you know he was struggling. So this time was different. He was out of rehab, and he rented an old rundown duplex on the outskirts of Cocoa Beach, Florida. And it was just a few blocks from the beach, and you know it was painted like a very drab, milky pink, and it you know boasted like very extensive wood paneling inside. Had terrazzo floors, and it was generally, like, you know, it wasn't a mansion. But this was very exciting for me, like, in my seven-year-old brain. Like, you know, I'm the parent, and I'm like, good, like, my dad has, you know, he's out of rehab, and he has a home. This is good. And for me, personally, it was very exciting because I had just wanted to have a sleepover. Like, I literally had never, like, gone, you know, had stayed in my dad's house and had a friend over. So this was like huge. Like, you know, the bar was off for me for normalization, if you can put the pieces together. Like, so this was a big deal. So this sleepover that happens is Mother's Day weekend. And that sounds counterintuitive, but my mom worked nights As a dancer, I told you Florida, you'll see it all. Yeah, it's all like coming together for you. And, you know, my dad would take me on Saturday night and then bring me back home on Sunday afternoon. And I was like, I have the best idea. We will invite my friend Rachel. And Rachel was, you know, my best friend in the neighborhood. She lived in the apartment complex that I lived in with my mom. And somehow her parents said yes. Now, I don't think they were looped into my dad's previous tendencies to make crack runs while watching me. But, you know, he always rented me a movie. And I always had food. Like, do you know how many times I saw Nightmare on Elm Street? a lot. Yeah. So I was fine. So anyway, everyone says yes, and, like, it's on. So Saturday comes around, and my dad picks us up in his, you know, gold hoop earring and his jean shorts and a pack of Reds just in his shirt pocket. You know, it's 1996 in Florida. Like, yeah. So he picks us up, and we have our little Thumbelina backpacks or whatever, you know, packed with our best PJs and, you know, faded neon bathing suits, and we're off. And we get to my dad's place, and we're getting settled in, and he does a very classic dad sleepover move, which is he orders pizza. Great. It was going so well. We're eating pizza. My dad gets up to go to the restaurant at one point, and my friend Rachel leans over and says, "Your dad's nipples are like pepperonis." No, they don't. Yes, they do. Look at him when he comes back. No, I won't. I won't, because they don't look like pepperonis. No, they do. Take it back. I won't. Take it back, pervert. Okay. My dad comes back, and we're just sitting in silence. Like, she's clearly smug that she has, like, caused me to deal with this. And I'm just, like, furious that now I'm grappling with, like, whether or not my dad's nipples look like pepperonis, which I don't think any child should have to deal with. Like, I'm just putting that out there. But anyway, we go on, and we play, like, a massive Uno tournament, which was, like, you know, my favorite thing to do. And, you know, we play Uno until, like, it's time to go to bed. And we take my dad's room. My dad sleeps on the couch. And I remember laying in there thinking, like, I hope this has been fun enough. Like, you know, it's my first time having a friend over where my dad lives. And, you know, like, Rachel is, like, you know, kind of a bitch. But, like, I hope she's having a nice time. And I hope that the beach is fun tomorrow. You know, like, I really wanted to impress her. Like, this whole experience was just really important to me. Especially because I did always tend to attract... I tended to attract friends who, like, reveled in other people's discomfort, you know, like, judgmental people, mean girls, and then I made it my whole life to, like, have them think highly of me. So, yeah, so I fall asleep thinking, but we're going to the beach tomorrow before we go home, and that will be so fun. So we wake up in the morning, and of course, it is completely cloudy and dreary, and it's not, like, really a good beach morning. It's not happening. So we have breakfast, and we go for a walk on the beach instead. And I'm just thinking, like, God, this is such a mundane activity. Is Rachel having fun? Like, we should be doing something cooler and more, like, sleepover-like. But then, because the universe always provides, something amazing happens. Something completely amazing happens. And that is where we're heading back. And we're going up the wooden steps to go over the dune. And I look over to my right, and there's a man in the sawgrass. And he has long hair, and he's wearing, like, a mauve blanket. And I can see his bare feet. And he's laying down. And now here is where, in the story, I so desperately, like, want to lie to you. I want to tell you that I was immediately struck with shock and fear and sadness and confusion and empathy. And I want to tell you those things because this man was dead. He was a dead man, and I knew it, and guess what? I was fucking excited. I was like, finally, something good is happening. Call the police, what a treat, you know? I mean, I couldn't believe my luck, right? Like, so I'm over the moon, and I'm like, Dad. And he has, obviously, a dramatically different reaction, you know? He's like, Justine, stop, he's asleep, stop, shh. You're being rude. Stop. He's asleep. And meanwhile, you know, Rachel is just cowering on the other side of the boardwalk, like pale as a ghost, like wanting to go home. Like, what a bitch would do. Sorry. We were the same age, so I can say it. And, you know, all I'm left thinking is, like, wow, she's a baby and my dad is dumb. Like, the smartest guy in the world, whose nipples definitely don't look like pepperonis, is an idiot. Okay, fine, but, you know, I'm thinking maybe he's right. Maybe this man is sleeping and I am being so rude. And, you know, so we go. Like, what am I going to do? I don't have, you know, we didn't have cell phones. So we go back, we pack up, and my dad takes us back. Rachel goes home. My dad brings me home. He comes in. He talks to my mom for a while. And, you know, I'm supposed to be getting ready to go to brunch, like, at the Melting Pot, because it's Mother's Day. And my dad leaves, and, like, I'm trying to get ready. And then the news is on, like, in the living room. The midday news is on. And then I hear it. Local family's Mother's Day walk comes to a somber halt as they discover the body of an unknown man. Mom! What? I could have been on the news! I was so upset. I was so upset. And it's not lost on me how deranged it is. That sadness is a distant second for me whenever there's a tragic incident to wanting to just be involved in the action. And it's also not lost on me at 35 years old, in retrospect, that my dad is not dumb. That my dad also knew this man was dead. And that he just could not let the narrative be recovering crack addict walking on beach on Mother's Day with daughter and friend find naked dead body. So it's all about perspective. Yeah. Thank you.
That's it. That's the last episode of our audio podcast. Starting next Monday, you'll have to go to YouTube to find all the videos, including the video of this story, as always. Please follow us there, leave us a comment, a like, let us know this is where you come from and that you've been with us since the beginning. Again, our YouTube is at It's Funny Now Storytelling. And of course, you can find information about future shows and how to pitch your own story, as always, on our website, itsfunnynowstorytelling.com. So thanks for listening, and remember, tragedy plus time, it's funny now. See you on YouTube.